This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, state officials have just announced the company that will build Massachusetts' first industrial-sized offshore wind farm. And the winner is, well, here's WBUR's reporter Bruce Gellerman to tell us. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Deb.
So who won?
Well, there's a surprise, a big surprise. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. But the big winner was Vineyard Wind. It was one of three teams that were competing for this, this proposal for this project. And they're going to build 800 megawatts of a wind farm off the south coast of Martha's Vineyard. Here's Secretary of the Department of Energy and Environmental Resources. I just spoke to him, Matthew Beaton.
It is the most significant step in the Commonwealth history to advancing our clean energy agenda, and it sets the stage for a great future of offshore wind development in the Commonwealth.
So 800 megawatts is half of what the statute requires Massachusetts to build. Governor Baker set that up about 2 years ago. It put the state on a path to be the leader in offshore wind and clean energy, and this fulfills half of that.
Okay, so how much is that, though, when we talk about powering households? How many households are we talking about, Bruce?
It's hard to measure, but it's about 700,000 to 800,000 households. It's about 5, maybe 6% of the state's total energy electric needs. Okay. So it's a lot.
Yeah. So you mentioned that Vineyard Wind isn't exactly a surprise, but there is a surprise. What is it?
Rhode Island is the surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Where that came from, nobody knew about that one. They are going to get 400 megawatts of one of the teams that was competing. It was Deepwater Wind, which built the Block Island Wind. And here's Lars Peterson. Let me get to him a little later. But this is just an unbelievable turn of affairs. Nobody expected this.
Okay, well, let's talk about Vineyard Wind and Deepwater Wind. But let's start with Vineyard Wind, because that's what we're talking about here in Massachusetts. Tell us a little bit about this company.
Vineyard Wind is a combination of actually two companies. They're partners. One's based in Spain, Iberdrola. It's a big clean energy company. Then there's Copenhagen Infrastructure Partnership, which is based, obviously, in Denmark. They're going to have a very ambitious timeline of putting this thing in the ocean. They're going to say this could be operational by 2021. And they're going to be landing the cables that come off the turbines in Barnstable in Cape Cod. They're going to have a big presence on Martha's Vineyard. And the interesting thing about them is they're going to have batteries all over the Cape, basically, in hospitals and police stations and places where the backup energy is needed. They're going to charge those batteries and use them when things go bad.
Mm. How close to Martha's Vineyard are we talking, and how much space are we talking?
A lot of space. These guys bought up hundreds of square miles. They leased hundreds of square miles from the federal government for buck an acre. Mm. And it's about 15 miles off the southeast coast, southwest coast of Martha's Vineyard.
So visible to most people.
Oh, tiny on the horizon.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And let's talk about Deepwater Wind. We talked about Vineyard Wind. So what about Deepwater Wind? What do we know about that company that's doing the Rhode Island project?
Well, that's interesting. So they're the ones that built the 5 turbines off Block Island. You remember that about 16, 17 months ago. They made that operational. That's only 5 towers. This one's going to have 100. So it's like one is a toe in the water. This is going in wading in waist deep. There's going to be 100 towers. They're big, and the turbines are going to be even bigger.
So it's quite a big project, both of these, but particularly Vineyard Wind. So I'm assuming that a selling point here, Bruce, was likely jobs that would have been created. So how many jobs are we talking about?
Right. Generating wind was just part of the equation here. So they want to have, they expect about 2,000. It's hard to measure because they measure it in something called job hours or something like that. How many people can work for a year for 1 hour? It's a very hard formula, but about, say, 2,000 to put these things in the ocean, and a couple of hundred to keep them operating and maintained. But there's a big, important part of this. That is, they don't want to just have jobs. They want to start an industry. They want to build something that's going to grow, an infrastructure, a workforce that's going to be trained on these things and be able to eventually, perhaps, be able to make the blades and the turbines. So here's Lars Peterson. He's the CEO of Vineyard Wind, and he's talking about how he wants to begin something very big here based in Massachusetts.
We are firm believers that this will be the kickstart of a market. The early movers, they get the first companies to settle in the supply chain, and then companies serving those companies will settle in. And so I think for Massachusetts, this is a new industry to settle in here, and there's a big opportunity here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's next? What happens next, Bruce?
So they've got the company that decides to build these things, Vineyard Wind, has to talk to utilities and decide who's going to purchase the power and for how much, right? There's three utilities in Massachusetts, and then they go before the DPU and they decide on the price. We still don't know the total price for the project, and we don't know the price for the energy. Hmm. The DPU signs off on that, and then they've got to go through the entire environmental impact statements for the state and the feds.
Okay. But right now, as you said, operational by 2021.
2021 for the Vineyard Wind, and probably 2023 for the Deepwater Rhode Island project.
Okay. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman. Bruce, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet.